This is Phil Farron. And I am driving around. Actually, I'm driving to Walmart. This is a long story. I'm driving to Walmart, and then I'll be going over to my dad's, but I'm going to go ahead and try to slip this in. This will be short today. At least it's supposed to be short. You know how those things go. It's been an exciting week. I mentioned some last week. My dad was planning on going into the lodge. I don't know if I mentioned that last week, but they actually had a room open. We were going to do the thing. You know, yada, yada, yada. It was going to be on Saturday, and he called me Friday night at 11 o'clock, and he said, I've been thinking about this, and I'm not sure that I want to. And I said, well, Pop, how about if we just go to bed, and we'll talk about it in the morning? He kind of paused, and he said, what day is it? I said, it's Friday, Pop. It's 11 o'clock at night on Friday. You're kidding. No, no, I'm not kidding, Pop. It's 11 o'clock on... Oh, okay. I said, we'll talk in the morning. So morning came. He said, no, he didn't want to go in the lodge. So then we started talking more, and we started talking about assisted living. And during that time as well, I set up an appointment to go down to the Missouri Veterans because I had mentioned, I think, last week that I had gotten this packet and I wasn't really sure what it was saying. And so we went down Tuesday and we went to the Veterans office and we sat there, waited for a walk-in. We got in after about an hour and 15 minutes or so. And I was glad we went right at 8 because by the time 9:15 rolled around, it was packed. But we went in, and I went through my song and dance and then pulled the packet of information out about the monthly stipend and handed that to the lady, and she looked at it, and her eyes got big, and she kind of pursed her lips, and I said, am I reading this correctly? And she said, yeah, you are. The VA is going to give him $3,000 a month for compensation for his hearing loss. She said, I've only seen a 100% compensation one time before. She said, I've only seen anything like this one time before. But she said, they are, and, you know, we just have to wait now for the fiduciary assignment guy to talk to us. We don't have anything to fill out. And then once he calls us, then they'll write him a check back to July 1st, 2017. For all the back, quote-unquote, back pay. And she said, this is actually better than the benefit you applied for. She said, because you can do anything you want with this money. So it's like, hey, see, Jesus helps us. And, you know, at $3,000 a month, it will pay every month for Dad's assisted living because we're getting him a little two-room thing. That's the other thing that happened. Then once we had that, we were coming back into Maranatha, and Dad had never been in assisted living, the little complex, and I just had this little nudge, like, you should just take him over there. And so I took him over there, wandered in, found the head nurse there, and said, explained the situation. She said, well, do you want to just bring him in? She said, I'll give him a tour. So she's very nice, gave him a tour. Pop really liked it. Actually met a man who is in assisted living who lived in the other half of my dad's duplex. He said, where did you go, my dad said? And he said, well, I've been living here. It's great. So that helped. There was a connection. And Dad did have a little fear episode last night where I had to kind of talk him back from the ledge. And, you know, we got that all taken care of. I'm running to Walmart for couple of things he felt like he needed, and then I think tomorrow we're gonna give this a try. We're gonna try to move him into assisted living, and, you know, just hope that he gets in there, gets settled, and feels like that's the place for him, because it's time. It's just time. So that's all fine and well. I'm running because I stopped and I wasn't sure about the... Okay, I'm ahead of him now. I'm okay. I was going to turn right and the cars were just sitting there. And apparently, just as I turned right, the light turns. But anyways, I'm way behind on my writing. However, this is week 8, and I'm at 74,000 words, and sometime between now and June 1st, I just need to get to 80,000. And if I can get to 80,000, you know, I'm good to go. Just a second, I'm going to put this on pause because my dad is calling and he knows something else I should buy. Okay, he needed some AA batteries. So, anyway, so I'm way behind on my writing, but I think I can get caught up. You know, if we can get dad moved in, I'll have Saturday, Sunday, Monday because I'm off Monday, and we'll blow through that, get her done. It'll be fine. And even if it's not, I've got several days next week. Hopefully it'll be fine. And even if it's not, we'll get caught up at some point. So it'll be fine. That's all good. All is well. We're digging through. I think last week I was talking about, lightning and got dug through the lightning stuff, had to replace two TVs and wireless routers and uninterruptible power supplies, and it's just all, but, you know, hey, you know, thank God we got the money to do it, got it done, got it taken care of. We're still got a few last dregs we're pushing through, but, you know, we'll get those taken care of. This week, this is going to be short, this week, I came across an article a couple of weeks ago. And I love the topic of quantum mechanics. I find quantum mechanics fascinating just as a topic. Because I find it fascinating because it's so bizarre. And when I did Still Whispers, I wrote a chapter in Still Whispers called Coherence, and it talks about quantum mechanics in a very general way. I am not a quantum mechanics physicist, mathematician guy. I'm just not. Because I just don't have the math for it. But, you know, I read enough, and I read enough popular stuff that I got the gist of it. At least in order to be able to talk unintelligently and sound like a fool to anybody who actually knows what they're talking about. However, I did have breakfast today with a good friend who is a physicist who knows how to do the quantum mechanics stuff, and I ran some things by him, and he actually nodded. And so, yeah. So, hopefully I'm not just completely off the wall with this, but I guess there was a book. This article came out May the 8th, 2018, and there's a book that came out called What is Real? Subtitled The Unfinished Quest for the Meaning of Quantum Mechanics by Adam Becker. And James Gleick wrote the article, who has written some, you know, famous books that I had read, and I thought they were good books. I'm trying to see if I've actually got some of the books that he had read. I probably don't, and I don't have time to look it up, so it's fine. Anyways, so I read this with interest because this whole thing of quantum mechanics fascinates me, and just one of the things that fascinates me about all of this is you've got Einstein, who is more of a deist, and so in his world, things make sense. And then you've got Niels Bohr, who was more of a Buddhist. There's more chaos in the heavens. And so he comes up with this theory to explain the world where there is more chaos in the heavens. I find that whole connection very interesting. I find it interesting that then Einstein is unhappy. You know, the famous quote from Einstein is, God does not play dice with the universe. There's just a lot of really interesting things when people are trying to figure out the nature of the universe. But this article starts off with the question, are atoms real? And we say, well, of course they are. Everybody believes in atoms. And then, you know, supposedly the proof from atoms comes from Albert Einstein. He proposed this theory of special relativity. He says a particle of light, the light quantum, now called a photon, you know, he postulates things about it, etc., etc. Then quantum theory comes along, and it is called the most successful theory in all of science. In this article, they said its predictions are stunningly accurate, and its power to grasp the unseen ultra-microscopic world has brought us modern marvels. But there is a problem. Quantum theory is, in a profound way, weird. It defies our common sense institution about what things are and what they can do. And the author of this book says, quote, figuring out what quantum physics is saying about the world has been hard, unquote. Richard Feynman, who understood quantum theory as well as anyone, said, I still get nervous with it. I cannot define the real problem. Therefore, I suspect there is no real problem, but I'm not sure there's no real problem. So the article says, the problem is not with using the theory, making calculation, applying it to engineering tasks, but in understanding what does it mean, what does it tell us about the world. And what it seems to tell us is that stuff is weird. There's this thing called the wave-particle duality, where sometimes energy behaves like waves, and sometimes it behaves like particles, and sometimes it gives you every indication that it's a wave, and then you try to measure it, and suddenly now that you're just trying to measure it, it starts behaving like a particle. This is weird stuff, and it's absolutely reproducible in the real world as experiments. And I don't have time to go into all that, but it's the double slit experiment. Just look up double slit experiment, S-L-I-T, double slit experiment. And it's really fascinating. Then there's the famous uncertainty principle, where you can measure a momentum, but then you can't measure the position, or you can measure the position, but you can't measure the momentum then. And there's other measurement problems, like a particle has a probability of appearing in a certain place. An unstable atom has a probability of decaying at a certain point. But when a physicist goes into the laboratory and performs an experiment, there's a definite outcome. The act of measurement, observation by someone or something, becomes an inextricable part of the theory. Because when you observe something, that's just a fan that's running. Because I still am running. I should probably just turn off the car. Okay, because when you observe something, it actually changes the thing that you're observing, according to quantum mechanics. It's very interesting. So there's this, you know, kind of new area of quantum physics where they're trying to come up with some kind of ideological superstructure about what does this really tell us? And the field is called quantum foundations. And they're trying to figure out, what does this really tell us about the world? How is the world what the world is? And even when you get down into what is the classic interpretation of these things, the Copenhagen interpretation, it's called, which is the first massive, the one, people will say, well, it's just a strange assemblage of claims. There's other people who are trying to explain what's going on. Some of them go so far as to say that we've got a many worlds interpretation, that every quantum event is a fork in the road, and one way to escape the difficulties is to imagine, mathematically speaking, that each fork creates a new universe. So that there's these uncounted number of universes, infinite number of universes. Every decision that's made, every minute change is something different. And of course, other physicists say, oh, that's a really heavy load of metaphysical baggage, because how would we ever prove or disprove that theory? And it doesn't feel like that in the quote-unquote real world. It doesn't feel like things can have superpositions or they can be in two spots at once. He says in the article, when scientists search for meaning in quantum physics, they may be straying into the no man's land between philosophy and religion, but they can't help their fat selves. They're only human. Quote, if you were to watch me by day, you would see me sitting at my desk solving Schrodinger's equations, just like my colleagues. says Sir Anthony Leggett, a Nobel Prize winner and pioneer in superfluidity. But occasionally, at night when the moon is bright, I do what the physics community is the intellectually equivalent of turning into a werewolf. I come to question whether quantum mechanics is the complete and ultimate truth about the universe. Okay, so even today when I was talking to my buddy and I was talking about coherence and how that you've got this quantum foam where nothing operates like we're used to things operating, and yet somehow out of that there arises this coherence to give us the world where things feel solid and they're in one place and they remain in one place. And things are more linear, and things are more three-dimensional, and things don't move backwards and forwards in time. They only move forwards in time. How does that happen? And my buddy this morning just shook his head. He said, yeah, nobody knows. And what's interesting is that 10 years ago, I wrote Still Whispers. And I had this chapter called Coherence. And I'll just read you pieces. I've always found science fascinating. I almost chose it for my career, but music called me at a deeper level. Still, I am always interested in hearing about the latest exploration and theories, especially in the field of physics. I mentioned, you know, hearing about the Big Bang Theory because the Bible basically says things started. I've been even more fascinated by the advance of the theories of quantum mechanics. I won't try to pretend that I understand or even approach the math involved. I've always loved math as well, but my life took a different journey. Yet the more I pick up, the more information I pick up trickling down to the masses from the quantum mechanics community, the more it sounds strangely familiar. And I go on to talk about superposition and the powerful field and knowing across vast differences. And I said, in short, the quantum world sounds a lot like the characteristics we ascribe to the divine, all present, all knowing, all powerful. How interesting that when we look in our own basement of reality, we find eternity seeping upwards. But actually, basement, quote unquote, isn't the most descriptive term because it implies a downward direction. If theorists are correct, everything in our existence rises out of the quantum realm, from the stars in the sky to the air that you breathe to the molten core of planet Earth. Every single unit of reality that we perceive is indivisibly connected to the quantum world. So why don't we see the mind-warping aspects of the quantum reality realm interrupting our lives? Why do we perceive objects only in one location, et cetera, et cetera? And I talk about this achieving coherence. And then I mentioned that with that as a background, listen to the Apostle Paul's statements about Jesus Christ in the first chapter of Colossians. Quote, he is the image of the invisible God, the first of all creation, for by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authority, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. That last phrase can be translated in a number of different ways. In him, all things are placed together. In him, all things band together. In him, all things cohere. And I said, if this means what I think it means, and if quantum theory is correct, it could be that Jesus is actively managing a boundary in eternity and using that boundary to create a reality for us. Every molecule that you breathe is held together by Christ. Every drop of water that you drink is held together by Christ. Every thought that you think is processed through neurons that exist solely because Christ is willing them to exist. Given this, it isn't hard to imagine what the Bible means when it assigns the divine the qualities of being all-powerful, all-present, and all-knowing. After all, if the divine coheres the very atoms that compose the hairs on your head, he probably knows how many there are at any given moment. I wrote that all 10 years ago. It's still true today. And one of the things that I find fascinating about this is the farther we get along on this journey, the more virtual reality we create in our computers, we begin to wonder. There's lots of chatter beginning to wonder, do we live in some kind of virtual reality? Because it seems more probable that we would than we won't. And I'll let you look up on YouTube videos that are titled, Do We Live in a Virtual Reality? I told my buddy this morning, sometimes we think too small, because when we imagine a virtual reality, we know that it's different from our reality. So we think of some massive computer that's running simulations and we go, oh, how complex that computer might be. But why should we think of it in that way? For the divine, for someone who lives in the quantum worlds, where there is no present or past, where there is only now, where there is infinite amounts of power, infinite knowledge, why wouldn't our reality with our atoms and our surfaces and our time that only moves in one direction, why wouldn't that be God's version of a virtual reality? Interesting stuff to think about. It's going to be really fascinating to see where all this goes. And even if the scientists discover that there is a multiverse out there, it really doesn't prove that there is no God. Because the fact of the matter is, like the proverb says, at least I think it says, one of these days I should look it up because I quote this proverb a lot, and if it's not actually there, I will sound silly. But as far as I know, there's a proverb that says it is the glory of God to hide a thing and the glory of kings to seek it out. We are in an amazing reality here. And there's a few things that we can know for sure. One of them is that we are loved. The other one is that there is nothing to fear. Everything is going to be just fine. This is Phil Farron, and I have made it home to Walmart. And then I'm going to my dad's.